Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. Today we speak with Dr. Konstantin Kordkov. He's a Russian scientist who developed a camera that can scientifically measure the human aura and the subtle energy of other objects. But first, let's look at some of the stories in other news. Here's one. Obama ordered Stuxnet cyber attack on Iran. The New York Times revealed that U.S. President Barack Obama secretly ordered the cyber attack on Iran. From his first months in office, President Obama secretly ordered increasingly sophisticated attacks on the computer systems that run Iran's main nuclear enrichment facilities, significantly expanding America's first sustained use of cyber weapons. And the U.S. Daily confirmed that the Stuxnet virus was created with the help of a secret Israeli intelligence unit. Stuxnet, first identified by the Iranian officials in June 2010, is a malware designed to infect computers using a control system favored by industries that manage water supplies, oil rigs, and power plants. Here's another story by Glenn Kennedy. Occupy Kimball and save a baby from being sacrificed by the Satanists on June 21st. Breaking news, it says. The top 100 Illuminati banksters meeting for a satanic ceremony in Colorado on June 1st. It's at the Kimball Castle, also known as the Cherokee Castle. And the date of this event is June 21st, the summer solstice, at 9 p.m. And they give directions here, too. Federal whistleblower Stu Webb is organizing a worldwide all-night protest of a meeting that is far bigger and far more important to the Illuminati than the current Bilderberg meeting in Virginia. Stu has gotten confirmation that on June 21st, during the summer solstice, the top 100 Illuminati banksters are meeting in Colorado at this castle. Insiders have reported that a newborn baby is sacrificed by these people during the wee hours of the morning. You'll be able to see who these people are by which famous people show up in Colorado in the days leading up to the event. Do you believe this? Now, Stu Webb is very familiar with what goes on at this castle because he unwittingly married into the Illuminati bankers, he says. His wife was the daughter of one of the top 13 families in the Illuminati. As many listeners may know, there's a Bilderberg meeting in Chantilly, Virginia, just like there was in 2008, an election year, followed by an economic collapse. Here we are. They're meeting at Chantilly, Virginia again. It's an election year. Will there be an economic collapse, as many producers and hosts have spoken about on the station? But there's a list of people who are attending this meeting, and we can go down a list of a few of them. Keith Alexander, he's the commander, the U.S. Cyber Command Director of the National Security Agency. Joseph Ackerman, the chairman of the Management Board and Group Executive Committee, Deutsche Bank. Mark Carney, he's the governor of the Bank of Canada. The governor of Indiana, Mitchell Daniels, Jr. The national security advisor of the White House, Thomas Donilon. Professor of history at Harvard, Lawrence Tisch. Anchorwoman, LA7 TV, she's a journalist, Lily Gruber. Ariel Levite, with the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Andrew Liveris, president, chairman, and CEO of Dow Chemical Company. Jorma Olila, chairman of Royal Dutch Shell. Peter Sutherland, chairman of Goldman Sachs International. Robert Zelick, president of the World Bank Group. And the list goes on. Here's another story. Cell phones. 50% increase in frontal and temporal lobe tumors in children. This is by Lloyd Burrell on the Natural News site. The Office of National Statistics in the UK discovered a 50% increase in frontal and temporal lobe tumors in children during the 10-year span covering 1999 to 2009. Was this a result of cell phone radiation? The Department of Health in the UK would appear to think so. One in three children under the age of 10 currently has a cell phone in their possession. The governmental agency put out the following statement, quote, "Children should only use mobile phones for essential purposes and keep all calls short." Oh, they're finally warning people. The facts, what, and the story continues, the facts, While adults definitely absorb some radiation from using cell phones, children are at considerably greater risk. When compared to adults, children's brains can take up to 3 times the amount of radiation. The International Agency for Research on Cancer released their findings last year after going over huge amounts of data taken from dozens of studies. Cell phones may cause cancer in humans. But it can be inferred from these findings the distinct possibility that similar, if not more devastating, results can occur in children due to brain tissue, which is more conductive, a thinner skull, the ability for radiation to penetrate more effectively because of their smaller brains and softer brain tissue, a longer period of exposure to use beginning at an early age. Could this be why almost 400 children a year in Britain are diagnosed with brain and spinal tumors? This equates to 1 in 4 of all registered childhood cancers. Again, the author is Lloyd Burrell. He spent the last 10 years researching the effects of electromagnetic fields on health. After becoming electrically sensitive in 2002, he now offers practical advice on healthy living in our electromagnetic world. In the past number of shows, we've discussed topics that refer to the subtle energy body or etheric body with guests such as metaphysical lecturer and author Stuart Wilde. We talked about the natural or unnatural transfer of this type of energy among people and things with Matthew Deluz and Dr. Joe Slade. And as listeners may recall, there's often the question of how can this data from human energy fields be scientifically measured, quantified, analyzed, and documented. Many listeners are familiar with Curlian photography, the real-time viewing of human energy fields. There's another method developed by Dr. Konstantin Kordkov called electrophotonics, and it's based on the GDV, the gas discharge visualization. This technology uses a special camera to capture the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual energy emanating to and from an individual. It also plants liquids, powders, and inanimate objects. It's being used in various medical fields to show imbalances within areas of the body. This technology can also be applied to treat physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual conditions and has potential to be used in a wide area of study, including sound therapy, agriculture, and much more. Most of us can feel when someone behind us is staring or emanating a particular type of energy, love, hate. Does this energy transfer to materials, such as our food, our water? And can we take conscious control of it to intend positive energy into our environments? We're joined today by Dr. Konstantin Kordkov. He's a professor of physics at the St. Petersburg Technical University. We talk with him about his work in measuring these subtle energy forces. He's the author of 9 books, and among them are Light After Life, Experiments and Ideas on After-Death Changes of Curlian Pictures, and Measuring Energy Fields, a State of the Art. Dr. Kordkov, welcome to Another News.
Thank you.
Now, you've done a lot of different experiments that has shown the subtle energy fields around the human body, and you've done intention experiments with water. And I wanted to start with the intention experiments for a minute and ask you why you chose water as a medium.
You know that we have a lot of data and a lot of evidence that people can influence each other remotely. We know that it is the basis of healing, would it be Reiki healing, reconnective healing, or some other modalities of healing. And of course, we scientists want to study and to understand what is the main mechanism, what is the main media for all these effects. And we came to a conclusion, and it's not only ourselves, it's conclusion of many scientists in this field, that the main medium for all effects is water. Because now we have big new science of water. It is tremendous achievement of many scientists in 21st century. And now we know that water has memory. And memory of water, it is ability of water to accept information, to change its structure under the influence of this information, and to keep this structure for some time. Let me give you a very simple example.
Okay.
We know there are liquid water and there are ice. And we know that ice is ideal crystal. So let's imagine that we are having melting ice. It is clear, understandable, that this crystal slowly transforms to liquid, to chaotic liquid. And in reality, this liquid is not chaotic at all. It is shown now with experiments, very detailed experiments with quantum analysis, that water always has some collective structure. And the structure can change under the influence of different information. Would it be electromagnetic fields? Would it be magnetic fields? Would it be sound? And in particular, would it be the influence of human intention?
You mentioned electromagnetic fields. I often see water towers around the landscape here in the city and outside of the city with these electromagnetic panels attached to them because of their height, you know, above the ground, and they'll put these antennas up and around water towers. There is an electromagnetic field transmitting and receiving, I suspect, from these antenna. Is that affecting the water?
Yes, of course. We know that in Soviet Union, it was very strict regulations how it is possible to have any activity under the high-voltage electrical wires. And it was forbidden to make any buildings, school, farms, under high-intensity electrical wires. And still we have these regulations in Russia. In other countries, practically no regulations like this, and we have a lot of cases when people having some activity or living under these lines have very big problems with their health. So same may be referred to transmitting antennas. Of course, every case should be studied carefully because it's not only the influence of some antenna, it is the structure of initial water itself. It is the volume of this water tank. So it is a very complicated topic, and we can't tell 100% that yes, it is damaging effect. No, of course not. It is very, very subtle effect, and of course this effect would be different for different people. It's the same as the effect of mobile phones. We know that we can find thousands of papers in internet that discuss negative effects of mobile phones. At the same time, quite a few of experiments done. And even in all experiments, including our own experiments, it was shown that different people react differently. So now we know that there may be even electromagnetic allergy. Some people may have very negative effects, but of course it's not related to all population. Otherwise, effects would be visible after 20 years of using mobile phones.
Okay. Professor, thanks for explaining that. I really appreciate it. Getting back to where you were before I asked the question and you were going through the different things that could affect water. Water is an important medium because it responds so sensitively to a number of stimulus.
Yes, and during our workshops, seminars, lectures, I always like to make a very simple experiment. We have our instrument that allows to measure the structure of water. We take some water, we are measuring this water, and we show effect, we show the numbers, and then we ask people from the audience to send their emotions, their intentions to water. And, of course, in the beginning, we ask them to send positive emotions, emotions of love, of compassion, of friendship. And then we repeat measurements, and in 99% of cases, we see change of a signal. So water reacts to our intention, and in different direction to positive intentions and negative intentions. Hmm. And I always tell that it has very clear practical implication. If you prepare your own food, if you do it with love, with care, then you add some positive quality to your food. If someone make it with neglectance, with bad feelings, with negative emotions, in depression, then they add some very negative, some very damaging quality to this water and, of course, to the food as well.
Interesting.
So, yes, and it's a very clear experiment. With our equipment, it's very easy to demonstrate, and we did it many, many times, hundreds of times. And, of course, we have statistics of this effect as well.
Oh, so you were able to measure that intention in a medium such as water.
Yes, it was many experiments done in the field, and as those instruments, they are available for all laboratories, for all researchers. It was not only in our laboratory, it was done in many, many places. And it may be influence from 1 meter, from 10 meters. It may be influence from Japan to Russia, from United States to London, from Germany to China. So if it's properly done, that it doesn't depend on this distance.
That also affects the human body because of the waters in the human body make up approximately 75%. Say, for example, you're on stage and you're doing really good as a performer and people are automatically appreciating the entertainment or whatever you're doing, speaking. Does it work on that level as well?
Of course. You are absolutely right. As we are 75% of water, then we are affected by other human emotions. It is very well known to artists, to presenters. If they are well accepted by the audience, then they feel excited. Then they feel a lot of energy after this. Then they feel very good and it may be kept for a long time. If they accepted badly, and we know from the history of music, then after bad performance, people may become ill. They may become very depressed, and it physically damages their health state. And it's not only for performance. It's not only for lecturer or artists. It's for everybody. If you communicate with other people and you have positive communication, then it has very good effect on your health. If you have negative response, then it may damage your health. You know, that quite recently I've been to Hong Kong. Before that, I've been to Japan. Mm-hmm. There, in their deep culture, they should not demonstrate negative response to people. It is absolutely non-polite. And from childhood, they are learned, they're trained to demonstrate only positive response to people. And you know that in all those countries, their longevity is the highest in the world.
Oh.
Much higher than in Europe.
Do they teach that in school?
Yes, they teach this in families, first of all, in schools. It is deep tradition of their culture.
Our guest is Dr. Konstantin Korotkov. He's the professor of physics at St. Petersburg State Technical University in Russia, one of the main developers of something called electrophotonics. It's based on something else called the gas discharge visualization. And this is the device, Dr. Korotkov, that you're able to actually see energy fields around the body. And now physicians are able to detect imbalances in the body using some of this technology. Can you describe a little bit about electrophotonics?
Yeah, we have developed this instrument more than 15 years ago. And it was next step after Kirlian effect. Maybe a lot of our listeners have known mm-hmm. this effect. It is a photography of light coming from different subjects in electromagnetic fields. So this photography was quite popular, but it was impossible to use it in medicine or in some practice. That's why when we have developed electronic instrument based on modern optical systems, modern electronic systems, plus very complicated computer processing using nonlinear mathematics, mm-hmm. then we were able to make new jump. And now this technology is widely used worldwide by thousands of professionals, medical doctors, researchers, people, to make analysis of energy of the body. And this analysis allows us to have to see the level of well-being. So we can detect and make evaluation of the level of health. We can detect possible weak zones of the body. And we can detect, in many cases, upcoming problems. Not yet presented on somatic level, not yet presented as symptoms, but potential dangers. For example, you know that the main danger and the main cause of death in the world, those are cardiovascular problems.
Oh, say that again?
It means heart problems, yes, and vein problems. And it is infarct myocarditis, it is different brain problems. This is the main danger of the modern world. But, of course, if people have this problem, then it's not just from blue sky. They have it for a long time, and only at some moment it may cause real serious problem. So we can detect this situation long before serious condition. We can tell people, okay, look, you have really serious functional problem. Please take care without using medications, just by using normal means of complementary or alternative medicine. And then people may be healthy, they may be in for many, many years, and they may have no problems at all.
Can you tell listeners a little bit about the imaging of the 10 fingers? And how the health of the individual is determined by the light signature around the fingers?
We take measurements from all 10 fingers of our hands. Then computer make analysis of light coming from every finger. And this light is related to different mediums of traditional Chinese medicine. So this way it is related to different systems and organs of the body. Then it is related to principles of traditional Indian medicine, Ayurvedic medicine. And in computer, we create image of energy field around the body. We create more than 30 parameters, scientific parameters. We make evaluation of those parameters. And this allows professional medical doctor to see what's the level of energy and what's the level of condition of every system and organ. So it is express early stage analysis of functional state of the body.
Has the scientific and medical community embraced this research at all?
We have more than 200 papers published on research in medicine. A lot of them published in English, many in other languages as well. We have about 11 or 12 PhD dissertations defended on this topic in medicine only. And in Russia, this approach is accepted as a medical instrument.
Oh, interesting.
Of course, it's not yet having FDA approval in the United States, mm-hmm. but we are slowly moving on this line. We had very intensive research under the guidance of National Institute of Health in the United States. We have many doctors and professionals in many centers, hospitals, universities of the United States. So we plan that several years it will be very well known and more accepted. Because every new technology technology should take time to be accepted in medicine. It's absolutely normal. We would never expect, I would say, immediate acceptance. It is impossible. Medicine should be very careful, and medical people should be very, very careful in accepting something new.
Agreed. Definitely agree with that. You're also able to determine the nature of a person's health through the human aura. I was curious, have you been able to detect maybe something unusual attached to human auras in your research?
During 15 years of research, of course, I was able to meet many, many interesting people. Because I've been traveling worldwide in different countries, and very often I was approached by unusual people. Mm-hmm. People who was able to heal other people. People who was able to create very interesting effects in space, create some images in space, create some strong influence to magnetic poles, for example. Mm. And, of course, we've been measuring those people. Practically all those people have very unusual energy fields. And, of course, we can see very specific fields. For example, in Brazil, there are a religion under the name Candomblier. This is based on ancient beliefs of African people in spirits. Mm-hmm. They believe that there are spirits in everything, in water, in stones, in mountains, in rivers, trees, and they can communicate with the spirits. So in the process of this communication, we were able to measure priests of those beliefs, and those priests had really very strong, I would say, entities attached to their energy field.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, absolutely. So it happens, and to my mind, it tells us that we are we know very little about our world. We know very little about human spirit, about human consciousness. Only now we start research, we study worldwide on human consciousness. So we can expect a lot of new effects and a lot of new unusual for us topics. But the main problem that they are very difficult to replicate these effects. And, you know, science are based on replication, based on repetition.
That's right.
That's why most of scientists, they try not to do with all these topics, because it's really very complicated and very difficult.
I understand. I was curious and just thought that with all of your work, I was almost certain that you came across unusual individuals with particular types of power of healing or psychic perception, that you may have seen something unusual, because from what I've read, these other things that are around those individuals seem to attach themselves to the chakras.
Absolutely. For example, I know several people who train children to see without their eyes, blind children or blindfolded children. I know a lot of healers in the world, very strong healers in different countries. I've seen people who was able to suspend some subject in the air or to keep some subjects on their bodies. I was able to see people who was able to suspend themselves in the air, not flying, of course. It may be Uri Geller who was able to fly on the stage, but to suspend themselves in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a lot of interesting effects in human organism, in human system. And there are ancient systems like Tai Chi, like Qigong, like Chinese training that allow people to achieve those unusual abilities. Same as with telepathy, and we've been doing a lot of research in telepathy, same as with clairvoyance. So it's all effects that do exist, but of course we need a lot of time to understand what is real, what is fake, because it's a lot of fake in this field as well.
Yeah.
Should be very, very careful about all these topics.
Absolutely, I agree. I figured that with your research, you would have found possibly corresponding similarities to the unusual individuals and something, meaning individuals with unusual ability, and there would be a corresponding unusual aura around them, and that could be repeated in the experiment, and you would be able to see that again and again and begin to find out more and determine a little bit more about why that is, why the aura is a little bit different with people who have unusual abilities. Now, with all this research over time, has this changed your perception of the world around you?
Yes, of course. You know that I was raised up in Soviet Union, and I was raised up in communist country. And in the beginning, I was normal materialistic quantum scientist. So it was my background. And I was involved in quantum physics, in laser physics, plasma physics. So I never was dreaming about something like this. But only later, when I've met a lot of unusual people, when I was able to measure a lot of unusual effects, and I've seen that it's real, that it's not imagination or fate, mm-hmm. then, of course, I got to understanding that our world is very, very complicated. That it's not linear. It's not simple. That we don't understand the deep laws and the deep regulations of our world.
It seems like these areas of research are going in a really good direction. Your website has pictures of these different cameras. I didn't know if they were for sale or not or what they are. Can you describe what's going on with those cameras?
Now we produce, or some companies, they produce several cameras, and several companies are in Russia, one company in Germany, in other countries as well, in Korea. So they are named as GDV cameras, and there are camera for research, there are camera for eco centers, or there are camera for big hospitals, big centers, and they are really on sale, and a lot of practitioners, a lot of doctors, many thousands, benefit from using those cameras in the world. We plan to start our production line in the United States, and we are preparing this line. Of course, you understand it's not easy, it's not fast process, and we plan that maybe next year we'll announce this production line in the United States. And then we plan to make it known and available to many, many doctors, researchers, and interested people.
You could purchase them in Europe or in other countries right now?
There are a network of centers that sell those cameras and train people how to use it. We have several centers in the United States, on West Coast, East Coast. We have centers practically in all countries of Europe, in Japan, in Korea, in Hong Kong, and books, my books, they are translated to all European languages, many other languages. So it is really coming and very well developing, very fast developing area.
Fantastic. Dr. Konstantin Kortkov, professor of physics at the St. Petersburg State Technical University in Russia. Can you give us your website, please?
Yes, so you can look to different websites. In principle, it's possible to put my name in Google, and you find a lot of websites from different countries, mm-hmm. because all our friends and colleagues, they have their website. You can look to my own website. It is www.korotkov.com.
Well, Dr. Kortkov, it has been absolutely fascinating to speak with you on this incredible topic. I thank you very much for being on Another News.
Okay, it was a pleasure for me, and always interesting to share information with people. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Thank you. Have a great evening as well. Okay, bye-bye.
There's an 8-hour time difference in Russia, and our guest, Dr. Kortkov, is sleeping soundly. We're not going to be able to take calls with our guest. However, if you have any comments or questions about this interview, about the show, give us a call at 212-209-2900. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. Our guest, by the way, was Dr. Kordkov, Dr. Konstantin Kordkov. And I want to thank the listeners of the station for supporting WBAI during this fund drive, really, and in other news. Thank you very much. It means a lot to the people at the station, the producers, hosts, staff, management, everyone, to keep this thing going. And if you've been following the show, this connects to a number of past shows where the subtle energy body has now been able to be scientifically measured. We got some calls on the line. We're going to go to the first one. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Jim, this is Odette. I found the topic tonight absolutely fascinating, but I need to have the website of Mr. Kordkov and the spelling of his name, please.
Sure thing. Dr. Konstantin Kordkov, and I believe it's kordkov.com. Jeez, I'm not sure. Okay. I have to. If you can put that in the search engine, but the way you spell it this way, Kordkov is Kordkov.
O-T-K, okay.
Yeah, there's a T in there.
Thank you so very much. I enjoy most of your show. It's very, very interesting.
Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful evening.
You too.
I asked Dr. Kordkov if he tested genetically modified food. He didn't test that yet, but he did test. And what I mean by test is he used the camera to examine food that was sprayed with insecticides, pesticide. He was able to see with this technology a reduced energy around the fruit, around the food, as opposed to an organic substance, an organic fruit, vegetable, etc. I wonder what it would look like with genetically modified food. And I don't know if that's something he's going to do, but hopefully somebody does it. Now, again, if you remember, he mentioned that there are scientists all over the world doing this. Unfortunately, the United States is just a little bit behind. And at some point, the American Medical Association will have to respond to using this method or these methods to determine ailments in people. It shows up in these images before you actually have a problem. So it's not when you're sick, it's before you actually have a problem. Even more fascinating, if you were listening to Dr. Kordkov here, and we talked about the unusual types of people he was meeting and their auras. And he said specifically, priests have entities attached to their chakra points. Hi, caller, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening.
Hi, go ahead.
Yes, I just happened to hear you an excerpt of what you were talking to Dr. I didn't get, how do you spell the name?
Kordkov, K-O-R-O-T-K-O-V.
Kordkov, K as in kind, O R as in Robert, O T as in Tom, K O V.
Mm-hmm.
And what's his website?
I don't know his website right offhand, but if you just type it in a search engine, you'll be able to find his information.
Okay. Now, what's his field of endeavor? I think
he's a professor of physics at the St. Petersburg State Technical University in Russia.
Physics. Mm-hmm. Okay, and he said, did you ask something about organic food or something?
I was mentioning how he was using this technology to examine the energies around organic food and food that had been sprayed with pesticides and insecticide.
And what was the response?
There was a noticeable difference between the energy fields around the pieces of fruit or vegetable. The organic vegetable or fruit was just beaming with energy around it, and the one that was sprayed with pesticides, much less, much significantly less.
Wow, isn't that wonderful? Because that's all I eat. You know? We're just wondering, well, how long will we have organic food with the multinationals coming after it?
That's a good question. But also, genetically modified food. He didn't test that, he said, and I'm interested in what that could look like.
I could. Is it a way to get him to do this? How do you get in touch with him?
I just sent him an email, and he responded back right away. So anybody could just reach him online.
Wow, this is fascinating. And what's the name of this program again?
This show is called In Other News.
Okay, is this archived?
This should be archived, right? Yeah, it should be archived on the website.
I'm very interested in this. This is wonderful, sir. Wow, I wonder if what we can do in various communities.
This is old material. He's been working with this for 15 years. North America is very late in getting into this material. Japanese scientists, Korean scientists, Chinese scientists, European scientists have all been working on this.
Okay, so we're not doing anything in this country. So what is this field of endeavor called again? Is there a name for this?
Well, yes. It's based on Curlian photography. And
What is that again?
Curlian. It's spelled K-I-R-L-I-A-N. And you can get those cameras online on eBay. They take pictures of your aura and things like that. But the other element is electrophoton imaging, and that's his technology that he helped develop, and it's also known as GDV. You there?
She's gone.
Oh, she's gone. We lost her. Okay. So hopefully that explains and answers some of your questions. We got another call on the line. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Jeff.
Yes.
Oh, hi. First of all, your shows are just absolutely fantastic. Thank you. I'm calling because, first of all, this electrophotonics, I am very hopeful about that. And the other person that you mentioned earlier, I wrote his name down, Lloyd Burrell. About a year and a half ago, after having some dental work done, developed this EMF sensitivity, which has changed my life. I mean, it's just awful. I've got you now on speakerphone on the cell phone, and I can stay on for maybe another minute or two.
Okay.
But I had to go back to my old Mac computer on dial-up and, can't go anywhere. I mean, it's just terrible. So I guess what I'm saying is I know it has something to do with the electromagnetic field. I believe somehow it affected my aura. There are holes in the aura or something now, or I think that this the dental work actually acts sort of like an antenna. And, I mean, I've been doing as much research as I possibly can. But anyway, I guess I'm just putting this out there because there are so few people you can talk to about this. And so many of the people you have on your shows, they seem to touch on the area. But, dental work has never really been brought into it. So I just thought I'd put that out there. Hopefully, maybe sometime you might have somebody who could, put that together with these subjects.
Okay, that's a really important realm. Mercury fillings, of course, affect the pineal gland, as many know, and mercury is not supposed to be in the body. Could that be contributing in dental work, contributing to becoming a transmitter and receiver? Many people agree with that.
I really think so. So, if you could just keep that in the back of your mind and maybe someday be able to address it, I would surely appreciate that.
Okay, thank you for your call. I will do that. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. I'm sorry. I'm calling back again because I'm interested in she should talk about mercury. I had all my fillings taken out.
Lucky you, huh?
I just had some dental x-rays that weren't necessary.
Uh-huh.
A dentist did this to me, so I'm challenging it with the company.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know when there's too much mercury. I mean, not mercury, I'm sorry. When there's too much radiation, because she did an x-ray that wasn't necessary. So someone told me to get iodine. Belt liquid, and I was wondering if this doctor could test to see how much radiation, because we have to get mammograms as women, you know what I'm saying? And we're just getting too many x-rays.
Yeah, too much radiation. I agree. Can it be measured with these devices? I suspect it could. The cameras that, there are these GDV gas discharge visualization cameras that you can purchase. But I was looking.
What's the name of the cameras again?
GDV.
G as in George.
Yeah, D as in David, V as in Victor. It stands for gas discharge visualization. And,
wow.
Well, basically, I looked online, and they're around 9,000 euros a piece right now. So I'm waiting for those to go down in price a bit.
So but euros are what? I don't know the calculation on euros.
It's expensive. The thing is here, you can they don't just sell them. You have to go through a process of communicating with the people who make them and go through a training process on how to use it.
Oh, wow. I'm going to look into that. Mm-hmm. So you said the Curlian and then the GDV.
GDV.
Okay, wonderful. I'll look online, sir. Thank you. This is fascinating. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Go ahead, caller.
Hi. Good evening. Good evening. I have some information regarding this kind of technology that I've been involved with and that I had, I've used in my treatments. And it's called a specific the name of the equipment, but it's based on the Qi technology, where through a scan, in other words, the way it's used is that you sit at a monitor with a headphone on, and with a beep inside your ears, you know, constantly, it will scan from the top of your head to your feet, and it'll scan the whole body, each organ, and a color code is used. Yellow represents a good organ, healthy organ. Orange, not so good. Red, danger. And black, you really need assistance.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it's so amazing. I had the first scan about 7 or 8 years ago, and I only know one doctor in Brooklyn that does this.
Okay.
And it's so amazing because what happens, you really take control of your you monitor your health.
That's right, right.
Through the same headphones, they treat tumors at different frequency. They actually shrink tumors in the body.
This is sound therapy, isn't it?
Yes, it's coordinated with the sound therapy. They do so many things with the technology, and it's really really amazing where we're going. But you're never going to get that technology all over the United States because the drug companies don't want that kind of technology.
Well,
they want to sell the drugs.
Right, right.
You know, that's the whole thing. That's why a lot of this technology from Europe, especially Russia, Eastern Europe.
Eastern Europe, Russia, Japan, Korea, and China.
They're way ahead of us. They're way ahead.
In these particular realms.
Yes.
In these particular realms. And I do think you're right. It's about making money, selling drugs.
Well,
it's going to change, though. It's going to change.
Yes, it must change, and it depends on the people, what far they want to go, and what they want to be involved in.
They got to know about it first.
Yes, yes, it's all there. It's there. It just is hidden. We don't supposed to know certain things, so it's just to have an open mind and explore all kinds of possibilities.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Hello.
Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Oh, hi. This is so fascinating. I'm 61, and I remember way back with New Age, Kinesthology, Expos, and New Life Expos, et cetera. So many of the booths had to do with this type of exploration with innovative techniques of finding your energy, your chakras, alternative methods of treatment, the pendulum. So much of this seems to be buried. It seems like if you talk about this, it's hard to communicate that there's so much more to life than your philosophy, as Svengali would say.
You're bringing up some important things that I just want to respond to briefly. And
yes, I would love to hear it.
The intention experiment that Dr. Kordkoff had used was really fascinating because the people who were involved with sending positive intentions to a particular vial of water with a sensor inside of it, they were in different parts of the world.
Wow!
And there was still a measurable difference in the energy. So this GDV and this electrophoton imaging can pick up the very, very subtle, fine shifts in energy around within a particular element.
And so it was able to essentially measure intention. And so, you know, connect that with what he said about the culture in Japan and other Asian countries, where they're acutely aware of this subtle energy around us, and they know how to be polite. They know it, how important it is to be very, very polite to other people, because...
Oh, so deshouka. I was in Japan in 1974 and in 1977, and I was amazed at the agility. People would part when you were behind them and knew where you were, and bicycles could go between within a millimeter. I'm not exaggerating, but there was no disruption in the order. It was like ordered chaos. I guess there's some order to chaos. I think that's a physics theory, too. There's order to chaos. But it was such a disciplined society. I was quite amazed at how cooperative within all of those stresses of the overpopulation, monsoons, earthquakes, and there was a way, a lightness of being that, you know, I was in a subtle earthquake in Tokyo. Of course, now it's really awfully devastating, and how to keep your sane mind when you have so much more devastation. But I went to the front desk and said, oh, yes, earthquake. Well, if you can make light of an earthquake, you have a peace of mind to know that there is evolution of your being, that this life is maybe temporal, that you can't even say, actually, you can't, you're right. In the polite part, when you say deshoka, you can't say anything absolute. And it gets to the point, well, it's raining, I suppose, when it's raining. So you use the word, I suppose, so deshoka. So deska, so deshoka is the more polite form. I was quite impressed. And since that time, I had a Japanese roommate here who was quite affected by the rudeness and the overfamiliarity and the boisterous. And I became adaptive to that way, you know, that way of living as the most accommodating. It's like accommodating. So I don't know what more to say, but I'm really fascinated with this.
Thank
Hello?
You. Yeah, I'm right here. Okay. Thank you. Yes.
I guess I said a mouthful. So thank you so much. I really love this program. Thank
appreciate
you.
It. Thank you for your call.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It is a fascinating realm that we're speaking about, the scientific measuring of intention. And this goes for negative attention. It's measurable, and it affects us. And I suppose another realm to get into is protection, psychic protection as well. Do we have another call?
Yeah,
barely have time for it. Sir, can you give us something in 1 minute?
Yes, I can. I would like to know what is your thinking on helping children who do go to Santerias or people who practice those traditions, like you said, the high priestess of Brazil's Candomblé, to get the education systems to be open-minded enough to see that these children are being either healed or diagnosed on some level in a spiritual way. And I'll listen.
Actually, that's a good question that I do not have the answer to. We are running out of time. We've got to wrap up the show, but that's something I'll look into and address. You've been listening to Another News, and we'll be back next week. And if you have a question or comment that you didn't get on the air, you can send me an email at inothernewsradio@yahoo.com. See you next week.